We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's March 28th. It is 2024. We are here to talk the 9-game MLB slate for opening day. It's here. You're listening to the best podcast for breaking down early baseball. And I'm joined today by my good buddy, Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, baseball is back. You get opening day slate. What's happening, my friend?
Baseball is here. One of the best days of the entire year. We've been talking about this for, it seems like, 2 weeks now. It is finally here. We get to break down some baseball. No more messing around with those nasty NBA late scratches and things like that. We get to set some lineups and forget it. Maybe we have to change a thing or two after lineups come out, but much easier to manage than the NBA stuff that we're dealing with currently. So could not be happier to be with you, breaking down some MLB here for opening day.
Yeah, chat's going over on YouTube. What's up, chat? Hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday night. Y'all are talking some NBA over there and talking, listen, NBA, I love it. I love watching basketball. Can't wait for postseason basketball. Baseball's here, and with baseball coming, I've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. We're talking baseball. A lot of stuff happens throughout the day in basketball. Baseball lineups can be a little bit different, but we're going to be able to give you a lot more information for baseball night before than we are for basketball. So appreciate you all hanging out over there on YouTube. I did want to say really quick before we got into breaking down the slate and stuff like that, I have been working with the Roto Grinders team for some morning grind stuff. We are going to do some giveaways and stuff with the anniversary show coming up, but I was able to work with them and I have a $20 off first month Roto Grinders combo code that I just posted in YouTube chat. So you get $20 off your first month of combo, which includes basketball. baseball, NHL, PGA, all that stuff. So everything pretty much except for NASCAR. So sorry, I know I'm the NASCAR guy, but NASCAR pays for itself. So I've worked with them, and that way you'll get access to Lineup HQ for baseball and projections and stuff. And I'm super pumped about that. But dude, that music hits different when it's baseball season. I got a smile. I'm ready to go. And we got some baseball to talk about. I will say, for what it's worth, we probably are going to go a little bit longer today. It takes me personally as the host about a week and a half to get back in the rhythm of getting through games faster. So I'm sorry ahead of time. I'm sorry. The only good thing is I don't know if we did baseball live podcast last year. I have to go back and look. I can't remember. I know we did football. I'm pretty sure we did baseball. Yeah, we did baseball. We did. So, you get to hang out with us. If you have questions, post them in YouTube chat, and we'll try to answer them as we're going. Opening day slate has been very good for me for like the last 12 years. I've been really good at opening day baseball. I feel like you have to have the right mix of like what's noise in spring training, what's not noise in spring training, what do you believe, what don't you believe, and I've just been really good at that. So hopefully we can keep it going this year. We are going to start with the FanDuel slate because they do have the LA Baltimore game. And I wanted to talk about it because I love this game. I really wish this game was on the DraftKings slate. So we get started here. Angels and Orioles, 7.5 total. Baltimore, 178 favorite here. And we got Patrick Sandoval, Corbin Burnes facing off with each other here. We always start with pitchers, and then we'll talk about the hitters after that. And we always start with the visiting pitcher. Any interest here in Patrick Sandoval?
No interest for me in Patrick Sandoval. This Baltimore team is young, up and coming. I really like their chances to have a deep playoff run this year. So tough landing spot here for Sandoval. Wasn't fantastic last year or anything. That average strikeout rate, and it was even down last season, all the way down under 20%. There's no chance I'm rostering Patrick Sandoval against this young Orioles team.
If he was facing a different team today, I think I would have interest. He was one of the most extended pitchers in his final like spring training start. So like he threw 77 pitches in his final spring training start. So like if he was facing a different team, maybe, like depending on who he was facing. But I mean, he's going to face 7 righties in this lineup. Gunnar Henderson to be in there. He's a lefty, and Mullins will probably hit like 8th or 9th here. And he's a lefty, but Hayes, Rutschman, Santander, Mountcastle, too many righties for Sandoval. And I don't think necessarily Sandoval is a bad pitcher. He just doesn't have like swinging strike stuff, and he gives up a ton of hard contact. I think this is a spot we pass on Sandoval. Corbin Burnes, new look Corbin Burnes here, going to Baltimore in the offseason. He only threw 30 pitches in his final spring training start, which I think is a little concerning. You know, obviously on FanDuel, we're trying to find that like pitching stud. Strider's off the slate now with the postponed game. A lot of people are going to be talking about Scoble. He's one of my favorite pitchers on the slate too. Burnes might actually, with him being the highest priced pitcher on the slate, go a little over or under owned on FanDuel. I think pitch count wise, I was looking back at last year and his final spring training start last year, he threw 38 pitches and he threw 87 pitches on victory day or opening day. So I think overall for me on Burnes is I project him to throw 85 plus pitches. The Angels lineup is nothing. I mean, okay, Mike Trout, one of the best hitters that we've ever had in baseball. The rest of this lineup is trash. Like there is not a lot of good hitters in this lineup. They're developing a lot of talent. They're still a couple years away. The Angels are a team we're going to pick on a ton this season as far as pitching. I think we do it right out of the gate here with Corbin Burnes.
Yeah, I'm with you on the pitch count stuff. I'm not too worried about it. Like guys throw X number of pitches in a game, and then they work on the side a little bit in spring training. So like you kind of touched on, there's some noise in spring training stats for sure.
Yep.
So I'm with you. Burnes is going to get his 85-plus pitches here, I think. Paying up on opening day is something that I try not to do as much just because pitch counts are lower. You need ceiling out of these 10K guys. And not to say Burnes can't go out there and strike out 8 guys in 5 innings. He certainly has that ability. But I do tend to pay up less if possible on opening day. The Angels lineup doesn't scare me either. It's Trout and a bunch of like okay bats. Like Chanel is an up and coming prospect, but there's not much around him. I mean, when you have Anthony Rendon and Aaron Hicks projected to hit at the top of the lineup, that just doesn't sound good. So I'm with you. I think there's upside here. I will try to stay in the mid range more than I will spend up. I do think Skubal is super interesting. I'm with you on that. So we'll see. I'll be slightly over the field on Burns, I think, but he won't be like a massive overweight stance. There's some other guys I want to take bigger stands on.
Yeah, I was looking, and I won't look into projected ownership too much until to like tomorrow morning when I'm building out teams and stuff, but it just seems like Burns is not getting a ton of love, and that's why I'm interested. Like, you look at the Angels lineup, man, like, their best hitter is Trout. Well, I mean, Burns is just death to righties. I mean, this is a guy that strikes out righties at a huge clip. And last season, it took Burns a little while to get going, but I think this is going to be a really good spot for Burns. Let's talk bats here for the Angels. I got nothing. I want nothing to do with these guys. They are really cheap over on FanDuel. They're cheap because they stink. Just being straight up honest, I want nothing to do with the Angels bats on FanDuel here.
I'm with you for the most part. I will say that Mike Trout is 3,700.
I know the price on Trout is very appealing. Yeah.
Even as a tournament one-off, like, you just hope that he touches Burns for even a solo homer, gets another something off the bullpen, and you're cooking at only 3,700. So I don't hate Trout as a tournament play. I'm not interested in really anybody else either. He has that cutter that really neutralizes lefty power as well. So Chanel would be the other guy I would look at, but I don't like this matchup for him. Different matchup. I'd love him at 2,900, but not against Corbin Burns. So I think it's Trout only for me.
Yeah, what's funny is Bet365 had Trout over a half of total base for like -130 this morning. They are tempting you. They're like, hey, and like you're potentially getting one or two at bats against the bullpen, and it's Mike Trout. So, and I mean, he's on the road, so they're not offering that in Florida on Hard Rock. But I thought that was tempting. Baltimore bats. One of the reasons that I wish this game was on the DraftKings slate is because I really like the Baltimore bats. I think that we're going to talk about Cincinnati. We're going to talk about the Dodgers. We're going to talk about Detroit and some of these bats that are like going to be very popular just in general. Baltimore would be a perfect pivot off of those top end teams on DraftKings if they were on the slate. I really like them on FanDuel. I mean, Mountcastle, Santander, Rutschman, Hayes, all these guys offer power upside against lefties, and we're expecting Sandoval to throw 85-plus pitches. I mean, he's stretched out pretty well. I think this is a really good spot for Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I think Sandoval is a fine pitcher, but Baltimore, especially the top four, have absolutely crushed left-handed pitching. Santander and Mountcastle in particular just destroys left-handed pitching. So really like those two guys. With you on Hayes and Rutschman as well. And I'll throw Jordan Westberg out there as well. Second base eligibility, like that quite a bit. Had a decent rookie season. Expect a nice step forward for him this season. He's down there at 2,600. So as a value option, he's shortstop on FanDuel actually. So shortstop eligibility. I would prefer the second base, but I'll take him at shortstop too. I like that price a lot.
And if you're stacking Baltimore and FanDuel, obviously they have the 4 stack limit. Don't be afraid to build some Baltimore stacks with Henderson. I know it's lefty lefty, but he's going to be the low owned like Baltimore player when you're building stacks out. So he's just too good. He's too good to leave off stacks. All right. Let's keep moving here. We got St. Louis at LA taking on the Dodgers. 8.5 total here. Dodgers a -225 favorite. They're the biggest favorite on the slate, and I think that's really appropriate. I think that they are clearly better than St. Louis in this spot. Miles Mikolas, Tyler Glasnow. We'll start here with Miles Mikolas. I was looking at this dude's stats and breaking him down when I was working on my premium content last night, and like, he said that he was working on a lot of breaking ball stuff because he was trying to do some stuff different. He's not generating any swinging strikes in spring training. If you're not generating swinging strikes in in spring training, you're going to struggle against one of the best offenses in baseball. This is an easy, easy fade spot for me on Miles Mikolas.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you can't ask for a worse matchup. Just no chance I'm rostering Mikolas against the Dodgers here.
Yeah, you pull up plate up Q and it's just green. Your face is just green. Like, no, just green. That's not what you want to see. Glass now getting like a rare, like third game of the season for the Dodgers, and Glass now's making his second start of the year. So we kind of got to see him. He threw 77 pitches in that game against San Diego overseas. He honestly, he didn't look terrible. I wouldn't necessarily say that he was like bad. He just wasn't generating a lot of strikeouts. And I think that's just going to be a thing against the Padres this year. Like, they don't have a ton of power, but they have a ton of people that make contact in that lineup. I think you go back to the well here on Glasnow. Again, like the Cardinals lineup, there's a lot of potential talent in this lineup, and we're going to see days that like this lineup wins you tournaments, but day-to-day basis, I think they're going to necessarily struggle. So what are your thoughts here on Glasnow?
Yeah, we were both loving him for his first start of the season. He did not quite perform as well as expected, but I still have big expectations for Glasnow. Just coming over to the Dodgers, I feel like he's going to be one of the top pitchers in baseball. Tougher matchup against the Cardinals here. Like, I think I'm a little higher on the Cardinals lineup than you are, but I agree they're not an elite lineup by any means, but it's not an easy spot. I think they are a little bit stronger against lefties though. Glasnow is obviously really strong against righties. It's the price that's concerning a little bit here. Again, I will try to, I don't know, match the field probably on Glasnow. There's a couple of guys in the 8K range that I do like, and I want to be over the field on. I guess there's a pivot right here next to him that I really like in this spot. So I like Glasnow. I'm not necessarily afraid of the Cardinals, but probably not looking to get severely overweight on him or anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, the one thing that stood out to me is what I'm always looking for, like, early in the season is velocity, right? Like, that biggest thing for me is where's the velocity? He averaged 96.5 on his fastball in that game. So that's right where he sat last season. He touched 97 on average a couple games last year. But if I'm seeing Glasnow first start of the season average 96.5, I'm in. I mean, he is a guy that really needs that fastball. And, you know, this is a guy that's dealt with a lot of injuries. If he's hitting that speed on the fastball, his changeup and curveball are going to work. And that's where we're going to generate the strikeouts against the Cardinals team that they're going to potentially have some strikeouts in this lineup. Gorman's a guy that strikes out a ton. Matt Carpenter projected to be in this lineup for opening day. He strikes out a ton. So a lot of potential for Glasnow. Let's go Cardinals bats. Not my favorite spot. And really quick, I wanted to ask you this. Opening day, you know, you're already talking about like builds and stuff. What are your plans as far as like, what are you planning on playing? Like, are you MMEing? Are you 20 entry max, 3 entry max? Like, I talk about it all the time. I strictly baseball play with like 3 entry max stuff. I'm playing 20 entry max. It's opening day. It's fun. I'm playing probably outside of 20 entry max tournaments. I'm probably playing like 5 to 10 like hand build teams that I'll mess with too. I play more on opening day. It's just a thing.
Yeah, I mean, you just described like basically that's my daily play in MLB throughout the season. I love that 20 max tournament, the $4 or whatever it is on DraftKings. I think it's a really nice price point where if I punt it off for 3 weeks straight, I'm totally fine with that. So I love getting in that tournament. Super top heavy. It's very much a lotto. You definitely need to be different in that tournament, but that is one of my favorite tournaments to play. Just going 150 every day can get a little taxing if you hit a bad stretch, but playing that $4 20 entry max is kind of my sweet spot. And then I do the single entry stuff as well, the 3 max stuff. Love those tournaments, of course. You can be a little bit chalkier in that type of setting. So that is pretty much exactly what I'm playing here on opening day.
Yeah, I wanted to let the people know. Because we're going to talk about like, hey, we're going to be overweight on this guy. Like, it's good to just talk about like the contests that we're playing and expecting to play in this type of slate. I feel like that helps. I do like the 20 entry max tournament on DraftKings. I think it's one of the best tournament structures they have. I know you said that like it's top heavy, but it actually like pays pretty deep and stuff. Like it's a tournament long term, you can be profitable, and if you're a good DFS player, so that's why I like the 20 inch max. But let's talk Cardinals bats. I mean, basically, really close to the same type of lineup we've seen for this team here recently. What are your thoughts here on the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really interested in chasing anybody against Glasnow. He gets strikeouts. The walks can be an issue at times, but he's already had one start under his belt. I feel like there's a very small chance that he gets blown up in this spot. They're not all that cheap either. Goldschmidt and Arenado are both over 5K on DraftKings. Gorman at 4,200 would probably be, if I was looking for a one-off trying to find a home run, Gorman would probably be the guy, but not a lot of interest here in the Cardinals at all.
I was going to bring up Gorman too as my, like, he's a second baseman that has that big home run upside. So, like, second base, you're not going to get a ton of home runs from each slate. Like, if there's 15 games, you might get 8 to 12 home runs from second base on a typical night. So, and it sometimes it's even way lower than that. Sometimes it's higher, obviously. But second base is not a position you're going to get a ton of home runs from. So I think, you know, getting Gorman and chasing that one, you know, home run upside is fine. We got a question in chat. Do we think Glasnow goes past 5 innings? I think it's more of Glasnow pitches like 85 to 90 pitches here. I don't know if whatever that equals innings wise. If he's pitching really well, obviously he could go 5 or 6. If he's struggling a little bit, he could go 4. But I think it's more of like 85-ish pitches, a little bit higher maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what I was speaking to about not wanting to spend up all that much on opening day because everybody's a little bit limited here. If Glasnow goes 5 2/3, it wouldn't surprise me. But I don't think he's capped at 5 innings or anything. I know Dave Roberts has weird rules with his pitchers sometimes, but until we see him handle Glasnow like that, I assume that he's good until he hits whatever designated pitch count they have for him, which I expect to be in that 90 range like you.
Yep. You got to remember, Dodgers are playing for a World Series. They need this guy to be healthy. They're not going to push him if they don't have to. Let's go to the Dodgers bats. They're the chalkiest stack on the slate. They're clearly above and they're the number one stack if you can make it work. It's really hard to make work. If you're playing Ohtani and Freeman, Betts, Muncy, Smith, like it's really hard to make this work. Let's talk these bats. I mean, how are you prioritizing them? Are you just going to kind of let Lineup HQ prioritize them? Do you have a favorite? Like, how are you attacking the Dodgers here?
Yeah, so as much as I say I don't want to spend up on pitching, there's also not many cheap options at pitching. I mean, we'll talk about a couple of them, but they're both really uncomfortable, at least for me. Maybe you have a different take on it. So getting up
there
to the Dodgers
is comfortable.
Getting up to the Dodgers is going to be a chore on this slate, and for that reason, I kind of like building with the bottom of the order. Like, of course, I want to play Ohtani and Betts and Freeman. It's just not all that easy to do. I don't mind Outman's price at 4,400. I think Gavin Lux is maybe my favorite option on the entire team. Just being in this lineup, he's going to hit at the bottom of the order more than likely, which then turns it over to the studs that can help drive him in. Like, his run scoring potential is off the charts if he gets on base. He adds a little bit of speed and a little bit of power, has that second base eligibility. We talked about how second base is a weak position. So Gavin Lux at 3,400, I'm very interested in. Will Smith at catcher, just a catcher with upside. Again, that like paying up for catcher is tough, but this is probably the best catcher in baseball. Rutschman, of course, who we talked about is right there with him, but I don't see myself stacking premium Dodgers and having to pay down twice at pitcher or even like in my other three spots that I'm not full stacking Dodgers. Like, it's just, I feel like it's going to be too difficult to do. So bottom of the order Dodgers, I'm going to have a ton of, I'll be overweight on those guys. But as far as getting up to a Betts Ohtani Freeman stack, like that's probably not something I'm doing a ton of today.
I will say, Teoscar Hernandez is really expensive on DraftKings. He's cheap on FanDuel. I don't expect a lot of people to play him. So I definitely want to get some exposure to Hernandez because the Dodgers are going to be chalky. I'll be way underweight on Will Smith. No shocker. If you're new, welcome. I don't pay up a catcher. I punt catcher more than anybody in the industry. I have a punt catcher for you all today, and it's not the chalky one, so we'll get there. I do think the chalky catcher that's cheap is really good, though, for what it's worth. But, yeah, I mean, overall for me, love the Dodgers. Nothing bad to say. It would be interesting if Hayward sits. I know he's dealing with like a little bit of a injury, because I think Chris Taylor would play, which opens up the stack a little bit more because he's really cheap and he's shortstop eligible. So yeah, I mean that's going to potentially help here if he ends up missing this one. So Pittsburgh at Miami, 7.5 total here. Miami, a 134 favorite. We got Keller and Lizardo facing off against each other. I'll let you start here because I have a lot to say on Mitch Keller. Anybody that scores an odds member anybody that scores an odds member that has a Roto-Grinders premium might already know what I have to say about this, but talk to me here about Mitch Keller.
Yes, I know what you're going to say about Mitch Keller. I do read scores and odds. It's a good matchup here against Miami. We love the ballpark for pitching as well. But I won't steal your thunder. Like, Mitch Keller is just a guy. He was a first-round draft pick, I believe. He's been a top prospect for a very long time. We've been waiting for this guy to figure it out, and he just, for whatever reason, has not been able to put it together. I don't know if it's the Pittsburgh curse where they – Garrett Cole leaves and becomes one of the best pitchers in baseball. They've had a couple of others as well who have done that, but I'm not on Keller. This Marlins lineup, I think, is like, they're just pesky enough that they're going to cause him issues. The strikeout rate isn't elite by any means. So I'm off of Keller. I'll let you expand on that a little bit.
All right. Well, Eric and chat, can we play Keller and Lizardo in the same lineup? Well, I mean, you can. You might not want to play Mitch Keller today. Mitch Keller is, I just got done talking about velocity and how some stuff in spring is noise. When your fastball through four starts is down on average 3 to 5 miles an hour, that's not noise. That is something that we're very concerned about, even in a matchup with Miami. This guy could put egg on my face for this, what I'm about to say. But I think he's the worst pitcher on the slate today. He's struggling with velocity. He didn't miss any bats. 15% swing and strike rate in AAA or in spring training. 6.3 xFIP. He struggled so much in spring to ramp up, to miss bats, and command was way off for Mitch Keller, who needs his command. This guy doesn't have overpowering stuff. If Mitch Keller's fastball is down 3 to 5 miles an hour on average, it's not going to be pretty for him. So I really like the Miami Marlins bats in this game. I hate the ballpark. If this game was being played in any other ballpark, this would be a spot I would just be absolutely loving. But I just, when Keith, that's a lot. Like, we could talk like a mile or two, but when you're averaging a 93.5 mile an hour fastball and you're struggling to touch 90, dude, I touched 80 today. My arm hurts tremendously, but I touched 80 today, and I haven't thrown a baseball in years. But, so, like, he's struggling, right? So the velocity is a huge concern. A 90-mile-an-hour fastball is way different, and this dude throws his fastball a lot. So, like, he throws his fastball almost 50% of the time. That's huge. It's such a huge thing. He could come out and he could throw 95 here, and it wouldn't shock me, but velocity for me is not noise in spring training. I don't have any interest in Keller. I have interest in the Marlins bats. We're going to talk about that in a second. Let's talk about Jesus Lizardo. He was one of my favorite pitchers coming into last season. If he could stay healthy, I felt like he was going to have a great season. He did. He stayed healthy. He pitched over 150 pitches for the first time in his career. Innings, not pitches. He doesn't get a ton of run support, so his win-loss record's not great, but Lizardo, I think, is in a pretty good spot here. He's really cheap on DraftKings. On DraftKings, he's probably $1,000 or $1,500 underpriced for the matchup. They have a lot of right-handed power in this lineup now, like Reynolds, Hayes, Joe. They picked up Avaris from Kansas City. They have a lot of right-handed power in this lineup. What are you doing with Lizardo here?
Yeah, I mean, the price on DraftKings is really hard to ignore. I mentioned not loving anything in the cheap range. Like, Lizardo feels really comfortable at $7,600 on DraftKings. The ownership is obviously coming along with that. I don't think I'm going to try to take a big overweight stance on Lizardo, and I'm probably going to end up going with those cheaper guys. who feel a lot less comfortable. And part of that reason is I just don't think that Pittsburgh's going to strike out all that much this year. Yeah. They didn't strike out a ton last year. And Luzardo has good strikeout stuff. I do think he is going to be a star pitcher. He's been on his way there for a couple years and has been derailed by injuries a little bit, by control a little bit. I think he's eventually going to figure it out and be very good. This matchup and that ownership has me leaning towards a Luzardo fade. I won't fade him completely, but maybe like 20% to the field's 30%, that type of thing. And it's just because I like the Pittsburgh lineup. Like, there's a lot of contact guys in here. Brian Reynolds, Andrew McCutchen, Ke'Bryan Hayes, like all those guys make solid contact. They're good against lefties, especially Ke'Bryan Hayes had a great year against lefties last year. Even Connor Joe, like, I don't know, as the chalkiest pitcher on the slate, I probably end up underweight. I think he's fine. Love the ballpark. I will say the weather in Miami is playing like it's one of the hotter games of the day. Like, that's a factor on opening day when we have 50 degree and 60 degree weather throughout the country everywhere else mostly. So that like that helps me lean even more into the fade a little bit. But it's also Pittsburgh's lack of strikeouts in the lineup that has me think, and he doesn't need a huge ceiling at 7,600. This is why it's a little bit of a conundrum. But I think there's less upside here than people are giving him credit for.
Yeah, I mean, so if he can navigate the top half of this lineup, he should crush the bottom half of this lineup. The bottom half of this lineup's not great. So it's kind of like catch 22. We have him currently projected for about 25% ownership. A little bit over that on our lineup HQ here. I'll probably match the field. I don't want to take a stand either way. I might end up playing him more on FanDuel. Like, I wrote him up on lineup HQ because I do think like he's way underpriced, but like FanDuel makes a lot of sense for me too, just because like he's more expensive over there. He's not projected for nearly as much ownership. And if he does pitch well, like to the top half of this lineup, like, I mean, there's five ish K's in the bottom half. I mean, the bottom half of this lineup's not going to, they're going to strike out a lot this year. So
there's also some upside at the bottom of the lineup too. Henry Davis has really looks like he's taking a step forward this year. And Michael A. Taylor had showed massive power against
Joey Gallo, baby. Joey Gallo 2.0.
Yeah. I mean, he did strike out a ton as well. And Alan says, Keith, remember there's a dome in Miami. I know, but that's still like 70 degrees compared to 50 degrees elsewhere. So yeah,
roof
I know
might be open tomorrow too.
Yeah. It could be, yeah, depending on the weather, but I know it's not going to be 90 and humid. Yeah. Unless it's open, then it might be.
No, I mean, I live in Florida. It's been around 80. They might have the roof open. It's kind of miserable even at 80 in Florida, especially in Miami. So let's talk bats. What are your thoughts here on the Pittsburgh bats? Any mini stacks here against the chalky Luzardo?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. Just looking at, I mean, obviously I'm not playing lefties, but I don't think the Pirates are going to roll out any lefties. Maybe O'Neill Cruz. But I talked about McCutchen. I know he's old, but dude's still pretty good. Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think, is absolutely fine. What is his price? Why am I not seeing him? Yeah, 4,400. I'm good with that price. McCutchen's at the same price there. I mentioned Henry Davis. He does not have catcher eligibility on DraftKings, at least where I'm looking, which is unfortunate. He's going to get that eventually. I would love Henry Davis in the spot. If he had that catcher eligibility, he'd be an awesome pivot off of the cheap catcher who you alluded to earlier. But yeah, mini stacks only. I don't think Luzardo necessarily gets blown up here. But it wouldn't surprise me to see him give up a home run or two.
So I made a note of this earlier today, and because I am who I am, I'm going to give it out. A mini Pittsburgh stack with a Dodgers stack gets you off of the chalky Luzardo Dodgers stack that's going to be very popular, and it's going to make your Dodgers stack different because you're stacking the hitters leverage against the pitcher. Yeah, the leverage is just massive. So I think it's one of the best leverage spots on the slate. So whether you do like a 4-4, you probably need to do a 4-4 just because like how expensive the Dodgers are still. If you do a 4-4, Pittsburgh is definitely going to be that leverage spot that, I mean, top half of this lineup is really good. We know we alluded to it a couple times. One of my favorite cheap stacks on this slate is the Miami Marlins. Obviously, you're going to have to pay up for Jazz. You should. This is a phenomenal spot for him. But you're getting Josh Bell at 4K. Tim Anderson is over now, playing with Miami this season. He gives you Jack in the bag type of upside. He's a guy that can steal bases and hit home runs. And we're getting a lot of cheap guys here. Sanchez is 3,100. I don't know who will draw the start here, whether it be like De La Cruz, I would assume, but the stack's really cheap, just overall. And they're going to make a lot of contact, I feel like, in this Mitch Keller spot.
Yeah, high contact team for sure. I don't even hate Arias just because he has second base.
You see, he was hitting some extra bases and stuff in spring training. Like he hit the weight room this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, still may not have that home run pop, but anything that he gives you, like he's going to be on base a ton. So I don't hate that. Berger has big power. I do prefer lefties against Keller, but Berger's got big power. I love the Jesus Sanchez call. He's one of my favorite cheap outfielders. 3,100. Young guy who I think could take a step forward this year. I'm into that for sure. I don't know how I feel about Tim Anderson just after the year he put together last season.
The whole White Sox team was hurt last year, though.
Yeah, their pride was hurt. Maybe I don't. It was, I don't know.
My bankroll was hurt stacking them.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Maybe that's why I'm so down on them. But yeah, Sanchez, Chisholm, even Arise, Berger. I like that quite a bit. I'll be using some Marlins.
And really quick, again, like on the Keller velocity thing, if his fastball is not working, his cutter is not going to be as effective. So it's going to make his cutter more flat, and there's just going to be a lot more contact. And that's what we saw in spring with him. Again, it's spring training, but the velocity issues always concern me. All right, we got Washington at Cincinnati, 9 total in this game. Cincinnati, a 154 favorite. Josiah Gray, Frankie Montas. I saw a couple people asking about Josiah Gray in YouTube chat. Let's talk Josiah Gray first because he's the visiting team here. What are your thoughts here on Josiah Gray?
I mean, if you're looking for leverage points, you can play Josiah Gray because the Reds are going to be mega chalk, I think. And I believe it's deservedly slow. I know they're banged up a little bit. They still have plenty of depth. They brought in Candelario. I'm still afraid of this lineup, and I'm afraid of this ballpark. Josiah Gray is a fly ball pitcher, and the strikeout rate isn't enough to where he can keep these bats down, in my opinion. So Josiah Gray is a young guy with talent, but just has not been able to put it together and has been absolutely thrashed by lefties in his career. So there's definitely some Reds lefty bats that I want to talk about, but I'm not playing Josiah Gray on the slate.
Yeah, Reds are going to be popular. You could play Reds and still play good bats or pitchers. Sorry, you could play Reds and still play good pitching. They're a top stack in the slate for me. I like them a lot. I don't have any interest in Josiah Gray. I touched on this on Scores and Odds. I like the under on his strikeout prop here at minus. I think it was under 5.5 at almost even money. It's changed a little bit. You could still find it at minus 115. So I like the under on his strikeout prop. He had an impressive strikeout rate and swinging strike rate this spring, but the advanced numbers looked awful for him. So I'm really worried about Josiah Gray just in general here. He struggled with command, home runs, walks. Like, that's not what you want. He only threw 40 pitches in his last start in triple or spring training as well. I don't know if he's going to pitch deep into this game. This is one of the worst ballparks in baseball as far as pitching is concerned. I think it's a terrible spot for Josiah Gray. Let's go to Frankie Montas on the other side here. He's in a different uniform to start the season. What are your thoughts here on Montas?
I do not like Frankie Montas. I do not think he's all that good of a pitcher, but he is one of the cheap options on this slate. There are not many of them. I will just start by saying I prefer the national stack in this spot, but I will be playing Frankie Montas just for the salary savings. He's coming off of an injury. He was horrid after getting traded over to the Yankees in 22. And then he threw an inning and a third or something last year before a shoulder injury shut him down. And he has not thrown since then. So really uncomfortable spot, like I mentioned, but that price on DraftKings on FanDuel, there's no chance I would use him. I'm talking about strictly a money saving DK SP2. I think you have to have some interest just because the talent has been there in the past. It's been a really rough couple of years for Frankie Montas. And I do prefer the Washington bats, but I reluctantly will be playing some Frankie.
Yeah, I think and this is one of those situations where you play both sides. You can take some shots on him because he's cheap, and you're going to build some stacks against him. I mean, I think the Washington Bats are in a great spot. Montas started his career in White Sox, went to Oakland. We know him more from pitching in Oakland for, I think, 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. Pitched for the Yankees for an inning, like you said. bad luck. I mean, that's all you could say. He struggled big time with home runs in spring training, and this is not the ballpark you want to struggle with home runs. This is the Great American Small Park. I don't mind playing a little Montas, but I'm definitely going to be playing Washington Bats, and I think we get our first game stack of the season. I think you could stack both sides of this game. And honestly, like, I think it's a good spot for Washington, and they're not getting as much love here as, like, the Reds. Like, you look at the ownership on Washington, and they're way down. And you look at the ownership on the Reds, and it's way up. So, again, both pitchers struggle with home runs in a great home run ballpark, and one team's really highly owned, and the other team's going under owned. So, Washington very high up on my list today. I really like this spot for them. They're cheap. You can play anybody you want from this team and build a really strong stack and feel really good about your pitching. So Washington, very, very, very good spot.
Completely with you. I think Washington is my favorite stack of the day for a lot of the reasons that you just laid out there. Very well said. Cincy is on the other side of this game going to be very chalky because of the spot they're in. Well, Washington is in almost the exact same spot against the fly ball pitcher who gives up home runs. Why would we not be playing the other side of this? I am totally with you. I love C.J. Abrams, 4,600, he has power and speed. Joey Gallo, I know, like, he's going to be frustrating because he strikes out so much. But, man, like, this is a great spot for Joey Gallo. I don't expect Montas to have a great strikeout rate. Hasn't really throughout his career. And now coming off of injury, I think it takes him a little bit to get the stuff back. So, love Joey Gallo. Eddie Rosario, another sneaky good offseason pickup. Like, Rosario is a really solid hitter. I like him a good amount. Keibert Ruiz at catcher, I think you can look there. He was a stud prospect coming up, hasn't really put it all together yet. The power hasn't quite shown up, but 3,700 for a catcher, I don't mind that. Lane Thomas is a solid hitter. I have a ton of interest in this Washington set.
It's my catcher, man. Yeah. Ruiz, that's I think that's your pivot. When you're looking at catchers on the slate, I think the chalky, and I really think this guy is going to come in at big, big time ownership, is Diaz from Houston, getting the lefty in Cortez being 3K. Dude hit 23 home runs last year. Really solid hitter. I really like Ruiz as a pivot. You got to pay up for a little bit more for him just in general, but Ruiz has plenty of power for a catcher, great ballpark for home runs, a pitcher that could potentially struggle with home runs, and a bullpen that struggled with home runs last year. I mean, bullpens are going to change from time to time, but the Reds were 10th in home runs allowed for bullpens last year. So that's what we want to target, right? We want to target the bullpen. It's opening day. We don't expect these guys. Like, Frankie Montas threw 37 pitches in his final start of spring training. If he doubles that, which is kind of what we typically see getting ramped up, he's in that 75 to 80 pitch range. I don't think he goes like 90 pitches here, so you're going to get a lot of bullpen. I like Ruiz a lot. I like this stack a lot. Washington is a team that I'm going to be overweight on just in general here. You know which bullpen gave up the most home runs last year? Just curious if you know.
Initial gut instinct would say Oakland, but the ballpark might have prevented that.
God, that bullpen was awful last year. Yeah, it was. But the they allowed the fifth most home runs. Okay.
No,
Washington.
Yeah.
Allowed the most home runs. This bullpen is awful. Not as historically bad as Oakland's bullpen was last year. God, that bullpen was awful. But we're getting a great home run matchup against Gray. We're getting a bad bullpen. Stack the Reds. I mean, there's nothing more that needs to be said. Yeah, they're going to be missing a couple guys here with injuries. It just made the stack cheaper. And Carsheon Strand is way too cheap for his upside. These guys smashed the ball in spring training. And again, I don't love looking at like spring training stats, but I think if I remember correctly, 5 or 6 of these guys had ISOs over 250, like in spring training. They're hitting the ball. They're going to be fun to watch this year. They're exciting. We're going to stack them a ton. I'm starting right here on opening day.
Yep, completely with you. I will be overweight on the Reds, where I'll probably be underweight on the Dodgers, is kind of the two chalkiest stacks on the slate.
Yeah.
Ellie De La Cruz, just such an exciting player. Love this spot for him. Josiah Gray just has struggled with lefties his entire career. A slight improvement last year, but I mean, he was like worst in baseball before that. So even a slight improvement, he's still really bad against lefties. Jake Fraley, somebody that I absolutely love at 4,300. He's way too cheap. One of my absolute favorite hitters on the slate. Even India is too cheap. Like, I prefer lefties against Gray, but India should hit towards the top of the order. Second baseman at 3,900. I'm definitely on board with that. And perhaps my favorite value bet on the entire slate is Will Benson at 3,300. Lots of pop, some speed as well. So certainly we'll have him in my stacks. Potential Nick Martini gets the fill-in start with McLean and Friedel out. Martini might get in there at 3K. I don't hate that. Not excited about that as I am about Will Benson. I think Benson has a lot more upside, but love the Reds up and down. My favorite stack on the slate, but they will be popular.
Benson had like 6 or 7 stolen bases in spring training too.
Yep, he's got
speed. I debated on writing up his stolen base at +300 on Scores and Odds yesterday morning. I didn't do it. It's really close for me. All right, moving on. We got Minnesota at Kansas City, 8 total. Minnesota, a 122 favorite. Pablo Lopez, Cole Reagans facing off against each other here. We'll go Pablo Lopez first. Any interest here in Lopez against the Royals?
I do. Pablo Lopez is a really good pitcher. He is also coming with far less ownership than Tyler Glasnow and Tarik Skubal up here in this top end range. I think Pablo is going to be the guy that I go overweight on. I like the spot better for Skubal, obviously. But Kansas City is...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A team that strikes out a decent amount. Sal Perez's strikeouts have come up. MJ Melendez strikes out quite a bit. If Nelson Velasquez is in there, he's a big strikeout guy. So I like the upside for Pablo. I also feel pretty good about him just being ready to go right out of the gate opening day. I do have some interest in Pablo here.
Yeah, me too. He's definitely going to be in my player pool. I have interest in the Royals bats too. We'll talk about it here in a few minutes. They're very free swingers. A lot of power, a lot of strikeouts. So, I mean, you look up and down this lineup, there's going to be a lot of power and a lot of strikeouts. Other side of this game, Cole Reagans might end up being my highest owned pitcher. And had you asked me that this morning, I probably wouldn't have said that. But as the day has progressed and I've gotten more into my research, like really ending up on a lot of Cole Reagans just in general. And one of the reasons why I found it really interesting, Keith, the dude threw 93 pitches in his final spring training start. That is what we kind of expect as like a high ceiling for opening day pitchers. And the dude threw 93 pitches in his final spring training start. Like, that tells me good things. Love to see that. And we saw this dude take a giant leap last year when he got traded. What are your thoughts here on Reagans?
My thoughts on Cole Reagans are that he is awesome. I don't know how many people realize what he did once he went over to Kansas City. I'm not even joking when I tell you he was the best pitcher in baseball for the second half of the season. He was that good. The strikeout rate rose up over 30%. the velocity jumped up like three ticks when he went to Kansas City, and he added a slider that just helped him out a ton against lefties, especially. Cole Reagans is a legitimate ace. Like, what a steal for Kansas City to get this guy. I think he's underpriced in this matchup. The getting fully stretched out in spring training is exciting. A matchup against a Twins team that strikes out a fair amount. Like, I am fully in on Cole Reagans. Like, his strikeout prop over was just a print fest the second half of the season. Like, he crushed it every time out. And it's because they let him throw 100 pitches, and the dude has filthy stuff. Like, he throws, like, five well above average pitches. He is a legitimate, true top-of-the-rotation starting pitcher. So, if you don't know the name Cole Reagans, get used to it, because dude is phenomenal.
We're going to talk about him a lot. We talked about him a lot to finish the last season, and we're going to talk about him a lot this year. Keith's not wrong. We're going to get used to that name. He's going to come up. He's going to come up quite a bit. I debated on taking his strikeout prop because you were getting plus money at 6.5. And I debated, especially when I saw like the pitch count of his last start. And I was like, 6.5 for me on opening day, though, is so hard.
If it was 5.5, I would have wrote it up. But 6.5, it's like, man,
it's so hard.
Has to go perfect. Yeah.
But I mean, okay, on the flip side of getting off the betting and back to DFS really quick, like, who are you worried about in the Minnesota lineup? Like, obviously, there's some power here with Buxton. Jeffers is really good against lefties. Correa, his power is gone, but he's good against lefties. Like, they just don't have a lot of power against lefties anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see Royce Lewis's numbers against lefties. Like, that dude was breaking out in a big way last year, but he really struggled against lefties, ISO under 100. So I expect him to rebound against lefties. I don't know that that's necessarily sticky. I don't know why it would be. Correa offers a little bit of a problem. Buxton is going to be boom or bust. He has a ton of power, we know, and speed, but he strikes out a ton as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a ton to be afraid of here. And there's strikeouts. Like, Buxton's going to strike out. Lewis is going to strike out. Jeffers and Margot even had a decent strikeout rate against lefties. So, and if Kepler's in there lefty on lefty, I like that a good amount. Like, yeah, I think the upside for Reagans here is phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, you just kind of talked about the bats a little bit. I don't mind Buxton. He's a little expensive. Lewis, I think, is a little pricey for me. He's not going to get any ownership. Third base eligible only on DraftKings. I wanted to find some cheaper bats that I liked here. Like, Jeffers at catcher, he has a lot of power against lefties, and he's 3,600. Again, we're trying to get off of the chalk catcher because he's cheap and everyone's going to play him. So, I don't mind those guys, but I mean, Buxton, Correa, Jeffers would be my favorite here. And I guess you shouldn't necessarily sleep on like Kyle Farmer. He's shortstop only or shortstop eligible. He's really cheap and he should hit like fifth or sixth in this lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, Buxton and Farmer are the two I'd be looking at if I was trying to one off. I don't mind Correa. I just save the money with Farmer. Correa was down a little bit last year. Buxton is a perfect boom bust, like, one-off tournament outfielder, especially at 4,600. I think a month from now, Buxton's price will be in the mid-fives. He'll be up around 5,600 instead of 46. So I'm willing to take some shots on that power speed profile at 4,600. And then Farmer's just a little bit too cheap. He's consistently hit for power against lefties in his career. So I don't mind that. I'm not stacking against Reagans. I like I said, I think he's an outstanding starting pitcher.
I wouldn't stack either. I wouldn't stack either one of these teams. The only way I'm playing these teams is, I mean, you could potentially mini stack Kansas City because they do have a lot of like power in the like the top half of that lineup. But I don't think I'm stacking either one. I would just use these teams as one-offs or two-mans potentially, but no full stacks. What are your thoughts when it comes to the Royals bets?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not stacking against Pablo Lopez. I think he's a really strong starting pitcher as well, and he's one with good control as well. So that definitely hurts the stack. Witt is so expensive. I don't think I'm doing that. I don't really have a ton of interest here in Royals bats. I don't see any great matches or any prices that stand out. Maybe Melendez at 3,300. Renfro has some power at 3,700. Velasquez was really good last year. I'm not sure I'm fully buying that, even though he's a former Cubs prospect. I know quite a bit about him, but I'm skeptical of the breakout with Velasquez. He was awesome last year, but we'll see if that continues. So I think Renfroe and Melendez would be my shots at cheap home runs here.
Yeah, I wish Vinny was cheaper. They priced him up.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Toronto at Tampa Bay, 7.5 total. Tampa Bay, a 134 favorite. Jose Berrios against Zach Eflin. The game that nobody's talking about that I don't even want to talk about. This is just one of those weird baseball games where I don't see a ton to play, but we'll start here with Berrios. Any interest in Berrios in this one?
You know, I don't like Jose Berrios, and I have faded him often, and it's worked out very well. But he is another one of these guys who's just kind of too cheap. Like, I believe in the Rays offense. They do it every year. Like, the names are never sexy, and they just, every year after year, they turn out one of the best offenses in baseball. So I don't like the matchup. But the price on Jose Berrios has me intrigued, and the ownership as well. Like, he's not catching a ton of ownership. I don't hate a shot. I don't know. We'll talk about Eflin in a second, but that I think that's a coin flip for me between Berrios and Eflin. I probably end up with a decent amount of exposure to one of these guys just so I don't have to play a ton of Montas and Crochet. Like, Berrios is in the conversation. I don't hate him, but I'm not in love with it either.
I think both of these pitchers are in play. You don't feel great about it, but the lineups aren't – you look at the Tampa lineup, and it's just a solid lineup. Not a ton of power, but not a lot of strikeouts. They walk a lot. They're patient. They're a tough team to face. Berrios could pitch well here. Good ballpark. And then you go to Eflin, and I'm really worried about his pitch count. He's not very stretched out looking at his spring training stuff. I was honestly shocked to see him get the nod here for this team just in general. But looking into it a little bit more, they're dealing with a ton of injuries at pitching. I think we're going to see a lot of bullpen for Toronto or Tampa, which potentially hurts the Toronto bats a little bit. But for me on Eflin, he's cheap. If we can get 80, 85 pitches here, you know, he's in play. This is a very right-handed heavy lineup. They didn't fix that this offseason. Potentially hitting 6 to 7 righties on a nightly basis here. Their DH is Justin Turner, another righty. I think Eflin's okay. He's nothing sexy, but his strikeout rate is 7% higher against righties than it is against lefties. So he definitely benefits from facing a very right-handed heavy offense.
Yeah, there's nothing to love here with Eflin, especially if he's going to be limited on the pitches. He did have a solid strikeout rate last year. And like you said, reverse splits, which is intriguing in this matchup. The Blue Jays just don't strike out a ton is the only problem there with the upside, and why I might prefer Berrios. I don't know that I'm fully sold on that. Just I'm always down on Berrios. So to actually like him on a slate would be new for me. And I'm still struggling with that. I think Eflin is in play, but I'm not overwhelmed by the upside here. So I don't know. We'll see what I end up doing with him. He's probably going to end up a fade for me. I don't have a ton of interest in the Toronto bats either, but I don't know if Eflin is the ticket to the slate.
The thing that is intriguing about Eflin is he's not projecting for a ton of ownership. Like, he's projecting for about 5%. So I only need to play him on like 2 or 3 teams to double, triple the field potentially in my 20 entry max build. He's not like a guy I feel like I'll play him like a 3 entry max. But in like that 20 entry max build, I might, just because of the price and like, again, I'm trying to think of ways to make Dodgers and Red Stacks different in my head. And if Eflin's not going to be chalky, he's a good pivot off Lizardo for Dodger stacks to be different. So I don't trust it. I don't think it's like this, you know, hey, I love this guy spot. As far as the Blue Jays bats, they're a solid lineup. I mean, Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Varsho, he had the most stolen bases in spring training. He was running a ton this spring. So he is potentially an upside stolen base play, I think, to start the season. Like, we saw him run a ton. And he, if I remember correctly, he was pretty cheap, wasn't he? Varsho, 3,600. He's cheap for a stolen base. We're eventually going to get Joey Votto in this lineup, which adds another lefty, but he's not ready yet. He's stayed back for extended spring training. So, Yeah, I mean, I like Varsho quite a bit. I could see like a little two man with like Vlad and Bichette or Springer or something and just try to chase a couple home runs here. But again, honestly, this is a ballpark you don't really chase home runs in. This is a really good pitcher's ballpark.
Yeah, that's another part that I'm struggling with. And like Vlad and Bichette are not cheap. Springer is even up at 4,800. Bichette and Vlad over 5K. So like the Blue Jays are not a cheap stack. If they were cheaper, I would have more interest. So I like the Varsho call for that reason. Eflin is pretty power neutral in that it splits neutral. Like he'll give up plenty of power to righties. So like Turner and Springer, I would have some interest in if they were a little bit cheaper. And like you said, it's not necessarily a ballpark to chase home runs in. So I don't even love one-offs. I'm just kind of meh on both Eflin and Blue Jays bats. Like I'm not in love with either one of them, but I think they're both fine.
Tampa bats, kind of the same thing. I mean, again, like if I end up on like a little two man or something, I'm okay with it. Nothing I am like in love with. I want Brandon Lau to come back and be healthy and have like a strong season. But that's more of I'm sitting on a lot of his rookie autograph cards that are like, you know, I'm just being honest. I think he's a really good hitter when healthy. Maybe he comes back and he's healthy this season. I just need to see it. He's cheap enough where I could potentially end up with him a little bit. But again, I'm just not a huge fan of Tampa overall.
Yeah, I like the Lau call. He's definitely my favorite here as well. Berrios is a very traditional splits pitcher against power. So definitely looking for lefties here. Lau's the guy. Palacios is the other lefty that's projected to be in the lineup. And he's not exciting. I know he had a nice little run with St. Louis last year, but I don't know that I'm buying that fully. Rosarena's priced up. Yandy Diaz is priced up. I don't mind some shots on Paredes if you're looking for another bat here, but Lau is easily my favorite target.
It should hit towards the top of the lineup. You can pair him with, like you said, Paredes or Rosarena and have a nice little mini stack. They did sign Richie Palacios from Cleveland, I think.
He did play for Cleveland a little bit, but they traded from St. Louis, yeah. I believe it was.
He could potentially hit like fifth in this lineup, and he's really cheap. So he might be another guy you look at when you see the lineup and you're like, all right, I can get behind playing this guy. He's a guy that can steal bases and has some home run power as well. And you definitely prefer him against right-handed pitching. So
yeah.
Tampa loves to do like righty lefty, righty lefty, righty lefty. Don't get me started. Detroit at Chicago.
That's how they win 90 plus games every year and don't spend any money.
You can't really argue with what Tampa does.
They understand splits and numbers, and more teams should be like them. It'd be frustrating for us as DFS players, but it works.
OS and YouTube chat says, we talk about the two-game NBA slate when you're done. Nope. Detroit at Chicago, 7.5 total. Listen, I'm just being honest, OS. Detroit is a 172 favorite here. We got Tarik Skobel against Garrett Crochet. This game. All right. We're going to start here with my favorite pitcher on the slate. It's Skobel. It's not close. I believe the hype. I've always believed the hype on him. The dude is really good. He was averaging a mile an hour faster on his fastball in spring training, which is just even better. This guy is a guy that I just really, really like in general. And the White Sox lineup is atrocious. This lineup is awful. This lineup is not good. This is a lineup that Paul DeJong is going to hit fifth tomorrow. Skobel should dominate this team. Another guy like Cole Reagans that was really stretched out in spring. He threw 86 pitches in his final spring training start. We might see 90 plus pitches. I know you don't like paying up. We're paying up for Skobel today. This is the guy today.
Yeah, it's too good of a spot to ignore. And I was actually going to make the Cole Reagans comparison before you said his name. Like, legitimately, Skobel was absolutely breaking out before he got hurt last year. The strikeout rate had taken a massive jump all the way up to almost 33%. Like, that is true ace level strikeout potential. He was on his way to looking like one of the top five pitchers in baseball before he got hurt last season. So while he's healthy, fire him up. I am with you. I completely believe in the talent as well. A really good young left-handed pitcher, and he's facing a trash lineup in the White Sox. Like, even their good hitters, like Luis Robert, strike out a bunch against lefties. You mentioned DeJong. Like, he's got a little pop against lefties, at least traditionally in his career. He hasn't been able to find it in a while, but he's going to strike out.
He was awful last year.
Yes, he was. But, I mean, we're trying to run out, like, Kevin Pillar and Martin Maldonado. Like, what are we doing, White Sox? They're probably the worst team in baseball. Skubal should absolutely dominate them. Definitely my favorite spend up. I will at least match the field. I'll try to be overweight. But again, I'm not trying to spend up as much as I can. Skubal, it's hard to make the argument not to, though.
All right, we go from the top to the bottom. The other side of this game, we got Garrett Crochet. He was in the bullpen last year for the little amount of time that he was healthy. Got hurt in 2021. Tommy Johns, missed 2022, missed most of 2023. First round draft pick. Big stuff. Big fastball. This is a dude that last season was touching 100 miles an hour. In spring training, he was averaging 96, 97, but touching 98 to 100 in spring training. Big fastball. Good slider, like probably a plus slider. Like, this is why this dude was drafted, right? Plus fastball, plus slider. Really needs that third pitch. Has not developed the third pitch. That's why they moved into the bullpen. The White Sox are struggling big time. Don't know how much we really expect Crochet to pitch, but they do want to transition him to a starter. I kind of estimate about 75 pitches here. And I might be high. I mean, this is a guy that could potentially throw like 65. If he gets like three or four really good innings, they might say, hey, you know, let's give this guy a confidence boost and move him. What are your thoughts here? I'm looking at it as like a potential play, and I talked about this on Lineup HQ tags. I have him as a play today as far as like I'm not thrilled about the Detroit lineup either. So what are your thoughts on Crochet?
Yeah, I am extremely interested. Massive arm coming out of college, like you mentioned. First round draft pick, was throwing 100 miles an hour out of the bullpen in his draft year. Like, the White Sox did not waste any time, called him right up immediately, and then he got hurt. I was very disappointed by his numbers out of the bullpen last year. The walks were out of control, and the strikeouts were way down. The velocity was still around 96.5. So, like, it just tells me that the stuff wasn't quite fully back yet. I think he's going to strike out more guys than he did last year. Out of the bullpen, like, generally we see a strikeout rate decline going from the bullpen to the rotation. I feel like Crochet is going to get back up. Like, his draft year, he came in and struck out 36% of people. He was only 28% in that next year, right before he got hurt. And then he was down to 19%, 18.8 last year out of the bullpen. I think this is an upper 20 strikeout pitcher, even as a starter. The stuff is that good. That slider, like you said, really used to play up. I think he'll eventually get that back now that he's another 5-6 months removed from the injury. So I'm excited about the upside here. I will say the Detroit lineup has improved this season. The Canna signing was really good. Like, Urshela they brought in, who's really low strikeouts. So, like, Detroit is not going to be the same lineup that we picked on all season last season. Even last season, they started to improve. It was 2 years ago where it was like any pitcher, any right-hander against Detroit especially, we were jamming in. Crochet's a lefty, obviously. So a little bit different scenario, but he's so cheap. And the other option down in this range is Frankie Montas, and I gave why I don't feel great about Montas. I think you can take shots on Crochet. I believe in the arm talent, assuming that he's fully healthy now. I think the strikeout rate's going to come way back up this year. The pitch count is a concern also, so the upside is concerning, but there are no options on this slate to save money as starting pitcher. It's basically him or Frankie Montas under 7K. I think Crochet has the ability to outscore Frankie Montas if it goes well for him.
So I was really intrigued when I was doing my premium tags and writing this up last night, because we haven't projected for like less than 5% ownership. That's really going to be a thing. People hate the unknown. Like, they don't like the unknown. And anytime you get a guy that's coming out of the bullpen, to a starter, you don't know what to expect, and you don't know what to expect from a guy that, like you said, struggled big time with walks last year out of the bullpen. He was coming back from Tommy John. He threw 12 and two-thirds innings this spring and walked one guy. So that was a positive sign. The strikeouts, he had 14 strikeouts and 12 and two-thirds. That's a positive sign. He's going to give up some home runs. That has been his thing, you know, when they've tried to extend him innings, is home run stuff. So that's why a lot of people like some of these Detroit bats. We're going to talk about them. I like them as well. But I'm definitely going to have exposure to this guy. You know, I think that he's too cheap for the potential. The potential of I can't preach how hard it is to hit 98. I can't preach how hard it is to hit a lefty throwing 98. It's really hard. It's not easy. Coming from someone that used to throw high 90s, like it's really hard to hit that pitch. Like if you're locating, it's really hard. Anyway, bats here, Detroit bats. They're getting some ownership. They should. They're not expensive. They set up really well against an unknown lefty that's going to throw two pitches. I mean, he mixes in his changeup very, very seldom. They're cheap. I mean, Baez is cheap. We know his power. Kana, like you said, Torkelson has power. He's going to be a little bit lower owned because he's so expensive. Jake Rogers has power at catcher. What are you doing here with the Tigers bats?
Yeah, so part of the reason I like the Nationals so much is because I think they're a solid pivot off of the Tigers. I think the Tigers are going to be like that cheaper, like secondary stack that everybody goes to. I think people will full stack them also, but I'm of the belief that Crochet is talented and he can have a solid outing here. So I probably end up underweight. I do like Torkelson. I think he's their best hitter. He has the most power on this team. And he's expensive, where the other guys are more like salary saving options. I'm playing Torkelson to be the guy that hits two home runs here. And then I hopefully don't need any of the cheap guys that come with them, but I certainly understand it. I will have a few full Detroit stacks. I like Baez, like you said. Just a ton of power at the shortstop position. Vierling, if he hits at the top of the order especially, is interesting at 3,500. Urshela is cheap enough at 3,500. You can play him. Rogers, you mentioned, pop for a catcher, 3,400. Canna, I think, is probably my favorite under 4K guy here at 3,900. I guess Baez is slightly ahead of Canna, but if I was doing the mini stack, it's pretty easy for me. It's Torkelson, Baez, and Canna. I think you could certainly mix in Vierling and Urshela and Rogers as well.
I like Rogers. Catcher with pop. Strikeouts or home runs? Sounds good to me. That's what I want for my catcher. I chase home runs. I want nothing but home runs for my catcher. Like, I want a cheap catcher that's going to try to hit a home run. I don't want you to hit a single. I'm pissed when you hit a single. Unless it wins me a tournament. Then I'm whatever you need to do. Yeezy says Green is really bad against lefties. So if he gets two or three at bats here against the lefty, really tough. The good thing about Riley Green is when we do get into the bullpen, he's likely going to get righties because he hits around a lot of righties. So, you know, you're potentially getting two at bats, maybe three at bats for him against a righty. So yeah, I don't necessarily hate it. Like he's so expensive though. Like that's my biggest thing. You're potentially losing your first two at bats for a guy that's 4,700. So that's why I'm down on Green.
Yeah. And Crochet has the profile, the fastball slider combo that just absolutely gives lefties fits. Like definitely if he busts out man. It's a tough spot for Riley Green. I get playing the bullpen angle though, because the Sox bullpen is not good at all.
All right. We're going here to the other side. We didn't talk about the other side yet. Let's talk about White Sox. What are we doing with the bats here?
I don't have any interest in these White Sox bats whatsoever. Like, Skubal is just good. I know he's going to be the chalkiest pitcher on the slate. I don't think I'm chasing that as a leverage point. Like, who do I even want to play? Like, Robert, but he's not even cheap. He's 5,500. Andrew Vaughn, I guess, if you're looking for a cheap home run, you can target him at 3,800. DeJong was just so bad last year. I don't think I can play him. Eloy, 4,400. Like, nothing is exciting here. I don't know. Andrew Vaughn, if I have to name one, I guess.
Honestly, Jeremy in chat says Scoble Cy Young this year. I've already bet it. I can't lie. I bet it a month ago.
Love it.
I'm in. I believe in the talent. I really think that this guy is uber talented.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
If anything, maybe Luis Robert as a one-off and chase that home run that Scoble gives up. But again, I'm probably going to be way overweight on Scoble and just fade the White Sox. And just say, you know, if Scoble gets touched up in this game, I move on to the next slate. It's baseball. We have, 200 slates? We have a lot. So, all right, moving on. Two games left. We're doing okay. Thanks for hanging out with us live. Appreciate it. We got a lot of people hanging out in chat tonight. I love it.
Everybody's excited for baseball.
Dude, I mean, how can you not be excited? Like, I told my wife, don't bother me tomorrow. I'm watching baseball today. Webb against Darvish, 7.5 total. Pick 'em game. Straight pick 'em. Darvish, obviously, getting the start here for San Diego. Logan Webb. Is this the ugliest game? Like, the most unappealing game? The Tampa game, pretty much, too. Let's talk Webb first, I guess. Logan Webb is a really solid pitcher and could pitch the most innings of any pitcher on the slate today. I'll just say that. Because the Padres are going to put the ball in play. They're not going to strike out a lot. Webb's going to generate a lot of ground balls. Big ground ball pitcher. Is that appealing at all at 8,400? Like, potentially throwing, like, 6-7 innings? I don't have his outs prop in front of me, but, like, I think that potentially is one that I would look at. What are your thoughts on Webb?
Yeah, it's not exciting because the Padres are a really contact-heavy offense, and Webb is a below-average strikeout pitcher. He's a very above-average real-life starting pitcher, but he's below-average in the strikeout department, just 22.6% last year. He's a ground ball guy. He's going to – like, I'm with you. If there was an over-outs I was going to bet on opening day, Webb's the guy, and that's just because he can be so efficient with ground balls. He doesn't walk many. So I'm with you there that he can work deep into a game. Even if he only has 90 pitches, he can go 6-7 innings. So, and the Padres are going to put the ball in play. But that's part of what's limiting his DFS upside as well, is that he's a pitch-to-contact type of guy. So I don't have a ton of interest there. I don't think you're getting a complete game out of him. It's happened before on opening day, but probably not. Less likely. Especially against a really deep lineup like the Padres. So I'm probably leaving him on the shelf.
Yeah, last season, opening day for him was his best strikeout outing of the year. He struck out 12. He only had double-digit strikeouts 3 times last year. Again, for me on Webb, high-contact team, high-contact pitcher, ground balls, not sexy, okay. His out prop isn't up. I was really curious what they had of that, but I think he has a good chance to go 6-plus innings here. Just maybe a sprinkle or two, but not sexy by any means. Let's go the other side here. You Darvish back on the hill here. Again, another one of those scenarios. What are our thoughts here on Darvish?
Yeah, I'm not all that intrigued by Darvish either. He is really falling off. He's getting up there in age. The strikeout rate is coming down. He's still above average at 24.6, but he's not the 30% strikeout guy he once was. He's also been getting really touched up by lefties, and San Francisco is one of these teams that likes to platoon a bunch as well. Darvish is going to see a bunch of lefties here today, probably four or five. I don't think I'm all that excited. I actually think the San Francisco bats are a little bit sneaky.
I'm with you. He's just not missing bats. Yeah, obviously he had a really, really tough spot against the Dodgers. he's not going to miss bats in that spot. But, you know, you kind of talked about it. Darvish is 37 years old. Like, he's getting to the end of the, you know, dominating part of his career. Like, he wasn't necessarily, like, a dominant, like, strikeout pitcher outside of, like, 3 years. Like, he had 3 years there when he was with the Cubs, and then the first year he was with the Padres where he was, like, a dominating strikeout pitcher. But overall, this guy has been a good strikeout pitcher. I mean, I'm okay with playing a little Darvish here. You know, he's already got his feet under him a little bit as far as, like, just overall pitching. You know, he's already pitched a game, and pitching in live games is way different than pitching spring training. I think spring training is still very good. I don't want to sound like I don't think it's good. But overall, slight interest. But, yeah, I mean, a little interest in the bats, too. I think the bats are somewhat interesting. Let's talk Giants bats here. What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mentioned the struggles with lefty power, so that's the first place I'm looking. Lamont Wade is probably my favorite option. I don't love that. Is he only first base? Double check that. Yeah, I don't love that he's first base only, but it is what it is. I think he has upside in this spot. Conforto, I think, is a great option, and Mike Yastrzemski, I think, is a great option. Both of those guys are mid-3K, so I think either of them are good for a home run in this spot. I don't know that I necessarily want a full stack here. It's not the best ballpark. Darvish, I think, is still talented. He's not going to miss a ton of bats, like you said. So he'll give up a home run or two, and that's probably what I'm chasing. Mostly lefties, of course. Like, you can play Soler in any matchup. Dude has monster power. Chapman is fine, but it's really the lefties I'm looking at. Wade, Conforto, and Yaz.
I'm going to miss my boy Jock Jams, but I'm very excited about Jock Jams being on Arizona, for what it's worth. Very, very excited. So we have a lot of questions on, do we think the Giants are going to pinch hit a ton? Gabe Kapler's gone. A little bit of the staff is still there from what I remember. But our boy Matt Williams is there. If you don't know Matt Williams, go back and watch some old Diamondbacks footage. I don't expect them to do the pinch hitting again, and like at the rate that they were doing it, because they did it at one of the highest rates in the MLB last year. They brought in, like you said, they brought in Soler. And just overall, I feel like I don't feel like that we're going to see a lot of that this year. I like Wade. I like Conforto. I like Yaz. I want to see him healthy. Want to see him have a healthy year. Don't sleep on Soler. Soler. Padres bats, a lot of contact. Like, there's going to be a lot of contact. There's going to be a lot of ground balls, which is always concerning here. I was looking at it as far as, like, the Padres bats, because when you have a ground ball guy, you want a big fly ball hitter. Cronenworth fits the build. Like, if you want to take a one-off on Cronenworth, like, he is a good fly ball hitter. But I'm not excited about that. Not really excited about playing any of these guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like I said, Logan Webb is an extremely above-average starting pitcher in real life. The control is fantastic, among the best in baseball. So I'm not excited to play anybody here. Cronenworth is also the, like, one-on-one matchup I had circled. I think he's the best bet. Of course, Tatis and Machado have outstanding power and can do it in any matchup, but it's Cronenworth is the guy I think I'd look to as the one-off. You save a little bit of money, and I think he has just as much upside.
You know, the Giants are pinch hitting everybody tomorrow now. Yankees and Astros, 8.5 total here. The Astros, a 152 favorite. We got Nestor Cortes against Framber Valdez. Any interest here in Nestor Cortes?
No interest for me. Houston is probably the worst matchup in baseball for left-handed pitching. Lowest strikeout in the league last year against lefties, way down at like 18%. Cortes, I think his top pitch count in spring training was like 60-something pitches. and only threw 32 or 34 in his last start, got beat up a little bit. Just a brutal matchup for Nestor Cortes. I like him to have a bit of a bounce back year this season. He struggled a lot last year. I think he's better than that, but this is not the spot for him.
I'll talk about the bats in a second. As far as the Astros bats, a lot of love about to be spread on the Astros bats, but I'm with you on Cortes. Looking at his advanced numbers last year, just really struggles with righties. Strikeout rate goes way down, like 7% lower against righties than lefties. ISO goes way up. WOBA goes way up. Ground balls go way down. Like, everything you want to see for hitting, you love. A lot of hard contact, but for pitching, I mean, you just, there's nothing that you can really like here. Swinging strike rate down almost 6% against righties. So Cortes is starting opening day because the Yankees are already dealing with a ton of injuries at pitcher. One of the best teams in baseball this year is going to be the Yankees. See my hat? Pains me to say that. But it's honestly true. Framber Valdez on the other side of this game. This isn't a lineup you want to face if you're Valdez either. This is a scary lineup. Valdez is not a huge strikeout guy. He is a guy that, you know, can rack up strikeouts in certain matchups. The Yankees strike out with the best of them. That's not going to change this year. Juan Soto helps a little bit. And I say a little bit. Juan Soto helps a lot. Still get, like, Judge in there. He strikes out a bunch. What are we doing here with Valdez?
So you touched on something important here for me. It's the way the lineup sets up is why I don't love Valdez. The Yankees will strike out a bunch, but I think they strike out more against righties. And Valdez has a huge split, 32.5% against lefties last year, 23.4% against righties. So you want to see lefties in the lineup if you're chasing Framber Valdez strikeouts. Juan Soto is... like, he struck out more last year against lefties than he ever has in his career by a lot. His career strikeout rate is like 19% against lefties. Rizzo is the other lefty in the lineup, and he doesn't strike out at all versus lefties. We have Trent Grisham projected to start as well. I'm not even positive that he does start, but like, he's the only lefty that potentially strikes out in this lineup. So the strikeout spot is really tough for Framber Valdez. I think he's a really good pitcher. He could get it done with ground balls. He's also an extreme ground ball guy, very similar to Logan Webb, but from the left side here, even more extreme ground ball. So I think he can have a fine outing here, but I just don't see the upside is my biggest problem. If I need somebody in this 8K range, I don't mind him. And it's just because I think he can work pretty deep into the game. I prefer him over taking a shot on even Darvish. We both don't like Keller. Like, it's like if you're going Lizardo and another guy and you don't have enough money to get up to Skubal or even Reagans, who I much prefer to this range, I think it's Valdez over Darvish for me, and that's the only thing I'll say. Maybe I end up with him in 1 or 2 out of 20, but not a guy I'm targeting. I don't think it's a good spot for him.
Ground ball pitcher against one of the best fly ball hitting teams in baseball. Torres is a fly ball hitter. Judge is a fly ball hitter. Stan's a fly ball hitter. Cabrera is a fly ball hitter. Volpe is a fly ball hitter. Can't do it. Sure, can you sprinkle him? You can sprinkle anybody. He threw 82 pitches in his final spring training start. He might go 90-95 pitches here. So in that aspect, sure, you could take some shots on him. He's gonna get some run support too, which I love for pitchers. Yankees bats, I'm targeting home runs. Torres, Judge, Stanton, all the guys I just said, basically. I'm gonna attack home runs here, maybe even mini stack this team. This has the potential to be the highest scoring game on the slate. This has the potential of just being like a lot of balls being hit really hard type of game. So I definitely want to get exposure to the Yankees today.
Yeah, I mean, chasing home runs is exactly how I want to play this. You mentioned the fly ball hitters, and that's what you need. You need somebody who can elevate the ball against an extreme, probably the best ground ball pitcher in baseball. Like, the ground ball rate for Valdez is absolutely elite. So I'm with you. I'm just chasing home runs. I don't want to stack. He's gotten the control much closer to average in the last couple of years. And he's even to the point where he's a pretty solid control pitcher at this point. So I'm not stacking against him, but I certainly will chase some home runs.
On DraftKings, because I'm FanDuel, I talked about how I like Baltimore as a pivot off of the Dodgers. On DraftKings, I love the Houston Astros as a pivot off the Dodgers. I love this spot for them. I mean, all these guys are good against lefties. Altuve, Jordan Alvarez is really good lefty-lefty, really sneaky, good lefty-lefty. Bregman's good against lefties. Jose Abreu took all season to hit a home run last year, but he finally got going at the end of the year. Chaz McCormick is one of my favorite players on the entire slate. I love this dude against lefties. I talked about him a ton last year. I'm guessing I know you. I'm guessing you're with me here when it comes to the Astros.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said it already. They were one of the best offenses in baseball against lefties last year. Even the two lefties in the lineup, they're both really expensive. Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker, they're awesome against lefties. Like, lefty-lefty is a real thing. It's a hard matchup to be a left-handed hitter and hit a left-handed pitcher. But Yordan and Kyle Tucker have both proven over multiple seasons they have it figured out. So don't be afraid to spend up for those guys. Nestor's another guy who's got a wide split, and he's much tougher on lefties. But these are two of the best lefties in baseball, so don't leave them out of your stack. Yainer Diaz is the chalk catcher that we've mentioned a couple times. He's a really talented young guy. He's cheap. I'm on board with that. Love the Chaz McCormick call. He might be my favorite hitter, price considered, on this entire team. Altuve's great. I'm completely with you on the Astros.
And Derek says Chiefs going to be sad. No more Michael Brantley. He hasn't signed. I don't know. Did he officially announce his retirement?
He did announce his retirement, I think.
Yeah. All right. Good. I mean, good for him. He had a really solid baseball career.
Yep. Very underrated. Awesome.
Did you mention Jeremy Pena?
I did not, but he's
another guy that I really, really like. Diaz is going to be the chalk catcher on the slate. For what it's worth, I hate cheap chalk catchers, but man, this guy's in a great spot. I'm definitely going to have exposure to him. He's the guy that I'll have more exposure to in like single entry and like 3-entry max stuff. I'll be underweight on him in my 20-entry max build. He's in a good spot. I like the Astros a lot. I think they're in a really, really good spot. All right, let's play the morning grind game. We did good. Hour and a half. I would have taken the over. We're kind of where I thought we were going to be. We'll get better. We'll get faster. We'll have more stats to look at, too. Morning grind game. We're going to use DK again this year just because they typically have the bigger slates, and it's just easier to use. If you have FanDuel questions, I try to answer them as we're going. Under 8,000 to get six or more strikeouts. Six strikeouts on opening day is tough. Anybody like down here to do it?
Yeah, six is really tough. I'm going to take the layup here. The obvious one is Jesus Luzardo. He's going to be chalk, and for good reason.
Yeah, I like Luzardo. I'm going to go to my boy, man. I'm going to go Crochet.
Let's go. I'm with you.
You look at the strikeouts down here. Mikolas is not a strikeout guy. Josiah Gray can strike people out if he can last long enough in this game. Same with Montas. Berrios is not a huge strikeout guy. Eflin's not a huge strikeout guy. I mean, and you already took Luzardo, so give me the unknown. Give me Crochet. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust on opening day?
I'm going to go Yu Darvish. I think he gives up a couple of home runs in this spot. I like the way the lefty's set up against him. He's already got one start under his belt, but I think this San Francisco team has sneaky upside.
Chad already knows, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's an obvious one that I was leaving for you because I already read your scores and odds right up, so I knew who you were taking in this range. I left them for you. You're welcome.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I might have egg on my face, but Mitch Keller already X out of the player pool for me on Lineup HQ when I was doing my initial who I wanted my player pool thing. I'm out on Mitch Keller. I'm patiently waiting for Hard Rock to get some player props up. They're up. I just checked like 2 minutes ago, and I am going to be pounding. I already bet Miami Marlins over 3.5. Like, I'm out on Keller. Over 4,000 to hit a home run. No cores on the slate. So who do you got?
Give me Ellie De La Cruz. Just cannot handle lefties. Ellie has some of the best power. Hits the ball as hard as anybody in baseball. I think this is an awesome spot for Ellie De La Cruz.
I like it. I don't know if my guy's over 4K. I just realized that. I forgot to check his price. Okay, he's over 4K. Woo! Got a little nervous there. I'm going to go Chaz McCormick as my home run play today. I love this guy against lefties. big time plus hitter against lefties. So give me Chaz McCormick here against Nestor Cortez. I like him a lot. Under 4K to get two hits. Who do you like here?
I'm going to go Will Benson. Another Cincinnati Reds lefty. Love this spot for them. He's in a great spot. Two hits, maybe. Hitting a stolen base just as likely, but he's good for two hits, I think.
They took player props down already. trying to get on some stuff that I really like, and man, it's driving me crazy. Two hits under 4K. I think there's a ton of options, honestly. I think there's a lot of good options on DraftKings today for cheap hits. I struggled to narrow this down. I really want this guy to have a healthy year. Give me Yaz from the Giants. A guy that, like, when he's healthy, is a really, really solid hitter. He's really cheap. I try to find a cheap option that we like here, and I like him a lot, quite a bit here.
Love it.
Stack to score six or more runs. Who do you got?
Since I went Reds with my last two answers, I will forego them here. I think they're really solid. They're my favorite stack on the slate, but I love the other side of that game also. Give me the Washington Nationals.
I took mine. Gosh, all right. Back to the drawing board real quick. I really like Washington. I'll say Houston. I didn't want to say Houston. Keith took my answer. I don't want to sit here and like think about it too long, but I like Houston a lot. I really, really, really like Washington. I think they're a really good leverage play today. Pirates. Marlins, maybe. All right, let's go to the betting portion of the show. So what I am starting the season with, and we can change this because I'm open. I'm a host that likes criticism and like feedback. What I'm going to do, what Keith and I already talked to Keith, or I sent him a picture. I didn't really talk to him. I just kind of told him what we're doing. That came out way worse than I meant it to. What we're going to do is we're going to do a player prop or pick and play. And then any other bet that we like. So two bets for the morning grind. I talked about like doing a pitcher hitter. I feel like that could potentially get messy on some slates. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a player prop and or pick and play. And then any other bet that we like on the slate. So I'll let you kick it off, Keith. What do you got?
I'm going to go Framber Valdez under 5.5 strikeouts. I got this one at -102 on FanDuel. Framber's just a roughly league average starting pitcher, and I think the Yankees set up really well against him. Mentioned the lack of lefties in the lineup. He has the wide strikeout rate, wide split in the strikeout rate, 32.5% to lefties, just over 23% to righties. Soto barely strikes out. Rizzo barely strikes out. If Trent Grisham is in there, maybe he's got one lefty that he can attack. But I think Framber goes 85, 90 pitches, but I think he stays under 5.5 strikeouts.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. It's a weird spot. It's just a weird spot. I'm going to go to Mitch Keller, and I'm going to take his under 4.5 strikeouts. Big velocity drop. You're getting this at plus money on almost every book. So I'm believing in what I believe in, and it's either, like I said, it's either going to really work out for me on this slate or it's not, and I'm perfectly okay with that. That's what I love about baseball. Some things work out, some things don't, and a drop in a fastball that much it's really going to affect him here. So I like the under on Mitch Keller's strikeout prop. And you worry a little bit because, like, Anderson's a guy that can strike out a bunch. Berger's a guy that can strike out a bunch. But it's not like Keller's this, like, dominating strikeout pitcher. I mean, his swinging strike rate was under 10% last year. So I'm going to go Keller under 4.5 Ks here. What other bet do you like on the slate?
So I looked at money lines. I didn't really see anything that was standing out. Strikeout props are kind of my bread and butter. I was up almost 20 units on scores and odds last year on strikeout props. So you're going to be hearing a lot of pitcher strikeout props from me when you're tuning in. I got another one in the same game. It's Nestor Cortez under 4.5 strikeouts. Houston, the lowest strikeout rate in baseball against left-handed pitching. Absolutely loaded lineup that does not strike out. Nestor not fully stretched out yet either. So I think Nestor Cortez stays under 4.5 strikeouts.
I like it. I'm actually going to stay in that game, and I'm going to go to a player prop in that game as well. I like this game quite a bit. I hate doing this, but like this is only one that you can get right now on Bet Rivers. It's +143, over 1.5 total bases for Chaz McCormick. A lot of the books have him at just over a half, and you got to take the big time juice. Bet Rivers actually has him at 1.5, and you're getting it at plus money. I think this is an excellent spot for extra base hits for Chaz McCormick. He's really good against lefties. Again, I think this game kind of pops off. So really like Chaz McCormick over 1.5 total bases at plus money. I think that this is a really solid one. And I know Bet Rivers is available in quite a bit of spots. If you haven't signed up, go to our offers page and take advantage of it. Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Baseball is back. Get it every day for the next like 6 months, 200 something slates, like you mentioned. So it's not going away anytime soon. We're in it for the long haul, but couldn't be more excited.
Oh man, we're done with this slate, and I'm so pumped. I can't wait for
baseball all day long.
Can't wait. I don't have to get up as early as you to watch baseball tomorrow, but I can't wait to watch it. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us. If you are hanging out with us live on YouTube and you haven't already hit the subscribe button, do that. We appreciate it. We're going to be around for baseball all year. We're going to talk baseball again tomorrow. So have a fantastic Thursday. We're back tomorrow. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.